episode 116. We're back, Rob.
116.
Yeah. Do we ever change the opening theme song? Is that ever going to happen in the future? Or are we just going to roll with that sort of vibe forever?
It's got a spy versus spy.
I'm okay with that, though. Yeah.
Spy versus spy vibe.
Do they still publish Mad? I should know this. They do publish Mad Magazine. I don't know.
I hope so. Sense, but I used to love to fold the...
Oh, yeah. The A-B thing.
Fold the A-B thing in the back. Spy versus spy.
Oh, I would study that.
Mad Magazine was great. Like Alfred E. Newman.
How they made that folding thing work, I would absolutely study that all the time. It was great.
So. Here's what I remember about Mad Magazine. I remember, of course, Alfred E. Newman.
Yeah.
I remember Spy versus Spy.
Yeah.
And I remember the folding back cover.
Okay.
I don't remember what else was in between the pages.
It was a lot of parodies of TV shows and movies. So, like, whatever were the big movie is.
Were they cartoons?
Yeah, it was all illustrated.
Was it all like graphic?
Yeah, yeah. A lot of Jack Davis illustration in Mad and Cracked. Classic.
Cracked. Oh, that's right.
Cracked was awesome. Cracked was even funnier.
Was Cracked a byproduct of Mad?
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah, yeah. It was an offshoot of some sort, you know. But it would be like, they would do kind of the PG version of the National Lampoon of like whatever the day's flavor was. It would be like, oh, Raiders of the Lost Ark was the biggest movie.
Yeah.
And then they do like Raiders of the Lost Fart or something like childish.
Yeah, okay.
And then it would be like five or six pages of, you know, like retelling of the story, but from some silly, and it was all caricatures of like Indiana Jones, but he's like tooting or something. I just totally made that up. I don't know.
I think you could probably argue that was a big, Mad Magazine was probably a huge inspiration for Garbage Pail Kids.
Yeah,
a direct descendant.
There might be. I'm not smart enough or educated enough to say that, but
it feels that way.
Dude, Garbage Pail Kids are still going on. I mean, you go in,
I think there's probably some valuable ones.
Yeah, well, here's a little, I'm ashamed to put this on the internet, but I'm going to put it out there right now. I found my box of old Garbage Pail Kids.
Okay. They're stickers,
right? They're stickers. And Kirby was going through them. And I'm like, wait a minute. I've got a huge box of them, dude, a huge box.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait a minute. Are these things worth any money?
Of course they are.
So I'm looking on eBay and it's like, okay, yeah. I mean, people will pay what they're going to pay or whatever. So I'm like, okay. So I found the Garbage Pail Kids collector fan site thing, whatever, which helped me figure out what series, what set, what index, you know, the publishing things based
on. Who made them?
Tops.
Tops did. Okay,
yeah.
Tops did.
Yeah, it was all Tops. It's all Tops. Because it came with gum. It had the flat stick. Yeah, exactly.
Disgusting.
Yeah, horrible. Horrible gum, which ruined the cards, of course. People think that keeping the packet sealed, you know, would be like collectible or whatever. But what happens is the gum destroys. So if you actually had a card, the gum destroyed it, right? So I logged on, or I didn't log on. I found this website. I tried to index. Then I joined like a Garbage Pail Kids Facebook marketplace group to like, let me offload some of these things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, let's save on the eBay fees. Horrible failure. I did not, I think I listed one thing as little chum the water, you know what I mean? And it was like, you know, oh my God.
It was like trash can Tommy.
I got taken to school on like, you know, comments about,
you don't belong here. This is,
well, I don't know about that, but just like, oh, you know, this card is not that desirable or this or that, or I think I asked a couple questions and it was like, all right, dude, like I'm out. This is ridiculous. That being said, I'm still a member of the group.
I would imagine, like anything else, that it's, oh, there's the rare.
Yeah.
You know,
Adam Baum is the classic one. The little boy who has the Atari joystick and is pushing the button and his head is a nuclear explosion.
I remember that one.
Still is the number one, that's the well-known one, right? There's some others like
Evil. But that one's not that valuable.
No, I mean, dude, you can get, I mean, that could be an $800 card.
But I mean, that's not like a Honus Wagner.
No.
I mean, they made a ton of that one.
Yeah.
Because it was the first, because they went alphabetical, right? Didn't they go alphabetical? There's a whole.
What do you mean?
Wasn't there like Atomic Atom and then
a B?
Butthole Bob or whatever.
I'm sure they went
alphabetical.
Here's what they did do, though, which was interesting and smart branding. They'd have the same illustration. Okay.
Yeah.
And then there would be two versions of every single illustration. So it would be like I think it's Adam Baum and Blasted Billy. And then up in the top right corner, it would be 1A and 1B. So every illustration got two cards out of it, right?
Two names.
So if you only had 50 cards, it really was you had to collect all 100 because you had to get every derivative, right?
Yeah.
And the reason why that first series obviously is collectibles because, yeah, you're right. They're all stickers and we all stuck them. You know what I mean? So nobody kept the cards, you know, that type of thing. But dude, you can still buy them.
Are they still printing them?
And just like how baseball cards have like chromium editions and all this crazy Garbage Pail Kids are still the same, dude. Of course. All that, I mean, you know, nostalgia, man. It's the 30-year loop, right? I mean, the 80s and 90s are gigantic right now.
Speaking of things that blew up into pop culture.
Yeah. Hit me.
That's our segue.
Oh, yeah. That is our segue. Well played.
Yeah. Okay.
Done. Let me take a sip of water out of this gigantic cup that was given to me.
The Stanley Cup.
By one of our clients.
That was given to you. So we thought today we might talk about things that... dare I say, explode into the zeitgeist.
Dare I say? Wow, my God, you're bringing me the thunder. I know.
So one of the things that the internet has done is allowed things to catch fire, right? And be propelled into the vernacular or just sort of...
Going viral.
The social sphere. Going viral.
Yeah.
Going viral.
Yeah. A little bit easier, I think, right? Than like how we grew
up. And it's random things that you could never... oftentimes could never really predict. Like when we were kids, right? The analog version would have been the pet rock.
Yeah. Okay.
Right? I mean, it was like all of a sudden there was a pet rock and somebody came up with this thing and it had the little popsicle stick with the little like little rocks.
I never had one.
You didn't have a pet rock?
No, I didn't have one.
There was a pet rock and then there was the rock concert and then there was all kinds of derivatives of the pet rock.
Hilarious.
But now the internet, of course, has allowed things to catch sort of fire. And I we're talking about it only because I read an interesting article today. So I'm headed up this weekend to visit my daughter, who's a freshman up at Appalachian State up in Boone. And so the Stanley Cup, not the hockey version.
Not to be confused with the most amazing trophy
in sports. Not to be confused with the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
But the mugs that are so popular among, dare I say, mostly females.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that.
And so a little bit of history on that and how it sort of exploded into popular culture where it now resides. So I guess the company, and I just learned all this today reading this article, but I guess the company has been around for like 100 years, right? A little over 100 years or something like that. And when the cups were first made, they were marketed towards outdoorsmen.
Okay.
And blue collar workers.
Yes.
Right. So, but it was very male dominated.
Like a Yeti kind of
marketing.
Thing.
Like kind of like a Yeti thing. Okay. Forever ago. And then they stopped, sales declined, whatever. And then they stopped producing them. Again, people are going to fact check me.
That's okay. It's the internet. Who cares?
Yeah. But they stopped producing them, manufacturing them in, I think it was 2015, either 2015 or 2016.
All right. We went on a hiatus. We're done.
Yeah. And so the company was kind of chugging along. And then there were some bloggers and they were women. It was women bloggers and it was basically, I forget the name of the blog, but it was a very popular one. That was like, oh, things we love.
Yeah.
And they just so happened that these women who ran this blog loved
these mugs,
yeah, these Stanley mugs.
And it's the, with the lid and the straw. And
with
all
the lid
stuff?
And the straw. Yeah. And it's this ginormous, you know, big gulp size.
How big is this?
It's huge. It's got to be 20 ounces.
Yeah, it's got to be more than 20 ounces. I'm looking at the bottom of it right now, but it's full. So I've, you know.
But surely you all have seen this thing. It's big up top, but it's manufactured so that it fits in a cup holder. Right at the bottom.
Yes.
And so that's part of the reason that they loved it was because, oh my gosh.
This is a 40 ouncer.
40 ounces.
This is 40 ounces of water.
That's huge. Yeah. So we got, you know, we're busy moms. We're running around. We got kids.
Yeah.
But we can hold this thing. We can carry it. Anyway, for whatever reason, they loved their
Stanleys.
They loved their Stanleys.
Yeah.
And so they started, as the more and more they talked about them on their blog, they started to realize that their fans, again, mostly female audience, loved the mugs.
Yeah.
And started asking about where they could get them and where they could get them and where they can get them. Well, these women decided to pull together all their money and buy 5,000 Stanley mugs at wholesale.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah.
So they buy the 5,000.
Yeah.
They go back on their blog and they sell them.
Yeah.
And they sell out like that.
5,000 of them, boom.
5,000 of them, boom. Yeah. So then they... buy another 5,000.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the second round sold in like a week or something, or maybe it was a day. I mean, it was something ridiculous.
Yeah. It was like, hey, we got the mugs back, and then boom, they're all sold.
And then boom, they all sold out. So these women went and said, hey, we need to contact somebody at Stanley and figure out a deal and do tell them about this.
Yeah, exactly.
So they got in contact with a woman who was the head of sales at Stanley.
Okay.
And it just so... happens, she was an App State graduate.
Oh, my Lord.
Which is how I came about this article. So an App State graduate, and I should know her name. I didn't write it down. Apologies. But I think Solomon was her last name.
Okay.
Maybe Laura Solomon. Somebody fact check me. Yeah. So they got in touch with her, and she studied marketing at App State. And so they sort of formed a great relationship with her, and she was all on board. Well, the problem was Stanley had been run by a bunch of old dudes for so long. And so she had to, as the head of sales, had to basically over time convince them to completely change.
Yeah, the internal lobbying, right?
Everything.
Yeah.
Like, okay, we're going to go after women now. Yeah. We are going to go pure influencer marketing strategy.
Yeah. Interesting.
All of these things that were very non-traditional for the company.
Yeah.
And I guess the long story short is over time, she finally, after all the lobbying, got him to sign off on it.
Yeah.
And the numbers are insane.
Yeah.
And it blew up, and it blew up in part because they totally pivoted as an entire company and targeted women and did it all through influencer marketing.
Interesting.
And so their sale, I mean, you can go look up the figures, but I mean.
Now, I did not read this article.
Yeah, astronomical.
Now, you did.
Profits.
For me, it was the viral video. Speaking of viral, it was the viral video of the car fire is where I kind of that's where I became familiar with the mug, right?
Yeah.
And I think it was through one of our advertising sort of blogs or news sites or news feeds, whatever, about the woman's car who burned. You know, like, I don't know if it was at a
electrical
fire.
I saw that.
You know, you haven't seen that? Okay.
I don't think I've seen this.
Well, hey, we'll have to tag it to this post. Michael, are you listening? Tag it to the post. There's like the woman's car burned down.
Okay.
Like, I don't know if it was electrical fire, engine fire, whatever, but the whole car, like, totally done.
Okay.
There's like a TikTok video or whatever the deal is of woman like, oh my God, my car is destroyed. She opens the door. She reaches in. She grabs her Stanley. Okay.
Yeah.
And shakes it. And the ice in the Stanley is still in there.
Now, is this fabricated?
I don't know.
Or we don't know.
Okay. I don't know, right? But and it's like that video went bananas. That everyone's like, holy Toledo, like whatever. And then come to find out, like a week later, the president of Stanley puts out a TikTok and it's like, hey, we've never done this in the history of our company, but I don't remember the woman's name.
Yeah.
But it's like, hey, lovely lady, like you know, because of your video and because it blew up so much and we appreciate you, like, we're going to buy you a new car. Like,
yeah,
you know,
you get the new car.
You're getting a new car. Yeah. Which is because it's like,
seize the PR moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course.
And I don't remember anybody's name in this situation.
Yeah.
And this was however many months ago or whatever. But that's when it kind of came to my consciousness. Because again, I don't really care. I don't need more mugs in my life.
Oh my God, we have too many.
Yeah. And I'm the weirdo that you'll notice I never use the lid or the straw. I'm a total strangio in that I don't like straws. I like to just drink like a normal person with my lips. I'm not a straw user for the most part.
Well, I found out about them from my daughters.
Really?
Yeah.
All of a sudden,
they just showed up at my house, these big giant, and I was like, why do we have these giant cups? And they're well, Dad, they're Stanley's. And
what do
like,
one of these
who's
cost?
This Stanley
do we
guy?
Know? Do we even know what these cost? I'm totally uneducated on this.
I have no idea.
Okay.
Anyway. Probably more than I'd like to spend on a mug.
Well, you've got a couple of them.
Oh, we've got a few of them. Well, and we have ones that they've purchased, but now also too, I mean, as corporate gifts. I mean, that one's a corporate gift.
This is a corporate gift from one of our clients.
Yeah.
And this, funny enough, even though we designed this logo and have worked with these guys for almost 15 full years.
Yeah.
This is literally the first piece of branded merch that's ever gotten. You know, and I see all these guys with their vests and their
golf shirts,
like all the different,
and
I'm like, hey, nice shirt you got there, buddy. You know,
yeah,
it's so funny.
That's a pretty good one. That's a very functional one. I like that.
Yeah, I think I was giving somebody grief on one of the calls, and I think they're like, all right,
ship him a Stanley.
Yeah, ship him a Stanley or whatever, which is a great gift. I appreciate it. So thanks. Yeah.
We've got a couple of those corporate ones from my wife's company at the house. Too.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
But yes, the last thing we need is another giant cup. And I always give my kids heck. I'm like, no one needs a cup. They're like, what are you going to do with that?
40 ounces, dude.
But
it is a big gulp.
Dude, they walk, all the kids, everybody has them.
Yeah.
It's absolutely insane.
Well, if today's topic is kind of how things catch fire, and what's interesting is the story you said about really what I hone in on is the pivot is, hey, we've been doing things one way for a long time. And then, you know, we hire good people, we trust in them, even though I'm sure I'm very grossly simplifying it, you know, internal lobbying, arm twisting, whatever. And then it's we pivot. You know, it kind of reminds me of the pivot. I mean, I'm dating myself here, but pivot with Hush Puppies. I want to say like back in the 90s or something like that. Yeah. Right? Late 90s. Remember Hush Puppies was that brand was dead as a doornail.
No one wanted to wear Hush Puppies.
And we're talking these shoes. They were like a two-tone kind of funky looking shoes, right?
Not an attractive shoe.
Not an attractive shoe. And then I think it kind of tied in with that weird Zoot suit swing.
Oh, like the Cherry Poppin' Daddies?
Yeah, that whole thing, the bop tones.
Zoot Suit Riot?
Yeah, everything that sort of came back around, the Swingers, the movie, you know, that whole...
Swingers was the...
You know, and then all of a sudden it was like hipsters, you know, or like whatever the definition of hipster was at that time.
Look at all these beautiful babies.
Yeah, like suddenly we're rocking Hush Puppies, and then it became, it was like, boom, we can't make them fast enough.
Yeah.
You know, that whole thing, right? It's tough to be a manufacturing, you know, because it's... inventory control, seasons, offshore manufacturing, 90 days on a boat, maybe. You know, I mean, you never know when the season's going to hit.
And demand can kill a company very, very quickly.
Yeah.
If you can't keep up and scale appropriately.
I mean, the most famous one for us as kids was the Cabbage Patch Kids, right?
Oh, my God. Xavier Roberts.
Yes. Speaking of here in Georgia, right? Yeah. Isn't it somewhere here?
Because the hospital was here.
Yeah, the Cabbage Patch Hospital, where all the babies... I've never been. No.
I've never been. But
the closest I've ever been to something like that was I went to the American Girl store.
Oh, maybe that's what it was. You had a birthday. Was there a birthday party?
There was a party there. Yeah. There was a party for one of my children, or we attended one of the parties, you know. And it's the full...
Well, that's where I had my 50th birthday party. is that awkward?
No, because they do... Remember, they repair the hair. That's the whole thing. It's like if you cut your doll's hair, like they can bring the hair back. So, you were.
Can they bring my hair back?
That's what I was saying. You're probably there for the hair transplant.
I'm here for the hair.
Yeah, that thing's still going. I mean, those are expensive American doll. American
no,
doll
those
dolls,
Cabbage Patch. So, I mean, I had two sisters growing up, and they had to have their dolls.
Yeah, but Hush Puppies, was an interesting one of sort of like a brand that caught fire out of nowhere. And I'm going to call that relatively pre-internet. It wasn't like, oh, I'm going on.
Yeah, that was 90s
shoe store. I'm not going on with Zappos. I'm not going on anything and buy. You know, it's like I had to find. You had to go out and find those things. You know, you had to beat the street to find it. Right.
Yep.
But inventory control, I mean, there's tons of stories of that, of like, you know, whatever the hot toy, you know, Furbies or Cabbage Patch, or remember those Tamaguchis, the little electronic take care of your pet?
Oh, well, remember I didn't know that. I didn't know that's what they were called.
I think
called,
it's called
I
a Tamaguchi.
I do remember the pet.
Tamagotchi, the Tamaguchi. Yeah. And it's like, well, why was that weird little Japanese digital, I got to feed my Tamaguchi. You know, I go, oh, it's time to water my, you know, like, or I got to pet
Could they pass away if you didn't take care of them?
If you didn't take care of them, I'm pretty sure they died. Yeah.
Okay, now.
Little responsibility for
little
Johnny.
Yeah. Could you resuscitate
them? The entire device goes dead. I mean, it smokes, self-destruct.
That would have been cool.
That would have been awesome. No, I'm pretty sure it's just,
you can bring it back
start over again.
No, I think it needs to. I think it needs to smoke and blow up.
Yeah, a little more Mission Impossible, if you will. That would have been more fun.
You failed your mission.
So why do things catch fire?
Yeah,
you know? Why are things popular? You know,
and hard to predict. And can you predict it?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about music a lot on previous podcasts. There's something there too, right? Like, how is that one song suddenly, boom? That's the one.
Well, and I remember, you know, back in years ago. When the term sort of viral video was a thing, right?
Yeah.
And when that first sort of entered the vernacular,
what was
right?
the going, first going viral. Viral? Like, when did that start? Yeah.
I remember forever, and we had clients that did this to us, come to us and go, hey, we want to go viral. We want to make a viral video.
We want a viral video.
And we would have to explain to them, you can't.
That's not how it works.
That's not how it works. You can't. You can make videos in the hopes that they go viral.
Yeah.
And you can make them, and you can seed them out.
Yeah.
Right to influencers and things, and you can plant all the seeds for something to go viral.
Back in the day, though, there were no influencers.
But you can't make it go viral.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not something you could do.
Yeah.
Because again, if you could.
The public is fickle.
Everyone would do it.
Yeah, you can do all the right things and say all the right things and you know, do everything correctly and get them right there. And sometimes they still won't flip the switch, you know.
And then the problem with that is once something does go viral or take off as a product like the Stanley, the inevitable
Yeah, it can. You
the
can
inevitable
screw yourself.
Fall yeah. is coming. It's yeah. just a matter of when.
You can't maintain it.
When does it fall off, and yeah, how do you handle it?
We had a, you know, I mean, just what was it? Probably 2 years ago now. I mean, we had a client we were running all the social for, and it was boom. We had the multi-million view post.
Which one was this?
This was ACF. We're rocking ACF, right? And a lot of food stuff. And it was, oh, wow, that, like, and then, you know, hey, that month's reporting was incredible, right? I mean, we're on the phone with the client, right? I mean, the bar chart is out of control, exposure, this and that. And it was like, all right, guys, just to manage expectations, that's not going to happen next. There will be a precipitous fall, you know?
Right.
That type of thing, right? So,
yeah.
But when you said, we have clients that come to us and say, we want to viral video, you know what I'm thinking of, right? I mean, we got to be careful with the
I know exactly.
Like,
a certain...
Yeah. And well, the it was a great project, did a bunch of great filming, did a bunch of great ideas. I still, and it's funny, used an early Hollywood actor that I still see in commercials. And
yeah,
I still,
had a very unique look.
I still see in bit roles, and I always get a kick out. Like, oh my God, dude, we totally shot with that guy. All day. You know, super nice guy, stuff like that. But the kicker, and we don't have to go into what the project was or who the client was or what, why, you know, whatever. The kicker was, if you recall, and I just want to see your face on this one, it was, guys, we can't use Facebook. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was, we can't use Facebook.
And this
now,
was,
Instagram, I don't even think existed yet. There was no Instagram. There probably was no Twitter.
I'm trying to think
of
what year this was. I mean, this had to be 2013? 9 years ago?
No, I mean, Instagram's been around for more than 9 years. I mean,
you think it was 20? You think it was earlier than 2011?
Yeah, it was 9 or 10.
I think.
Yeah, it was 9 or 10. We can go back and double check. I mean, again, whoever's
we need
listening
to create
this,
videos for
matter.
Social that we want to go viral. But oh, by the way, in 2009, we can't use Facebook.
Can't use Facebook. Can't put it on Facebook. You know, because we're scared about what if somebody posts something about the video.
Yeah.
You know?
What if there's a negative comment?
And it was, well, you can't control the internet. Like, I don't like it's an ocean, you know, like you can't fight the waves.
Right.
You know? So
right.
That was the greatest kicker that, you know, we're like 3/4 of the way through this project.
Yeah. Shooting these ridiculous video over the top, fun,
amazing,
quirky,
super fun,
over the top videos. Yeah, out in California. Right?
I still love that one. I still love the one that we're talking about. I think it's a fun video.
Silly.
I think it's great. It's silly. It's fun. It still holds up. It's timeless. You know. But then all of a sudden, boom! We can't use
Facebook. Needless to say, they didn't go viral.
Yeah. Exactly. Great content, but I don't know that what they ever did with it. To be quite honest, you know. And yeah, I mean, Facebook still to this day is 77% of all social referral traffic. I mean, so, but back then it was probably even bigger. I mean, because MySpace, let me put it this way, MySpace was still a thing.
Was it?
Yeah.
Was it then?
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure. So, all right. Anyway, that's a fun little anecdote to end today.
Anecdote.
All right. So, where can everybody find our viral videos, Rob?
On the internet, on the World Wide Web at mocktheagency.com. And of course, you can track us down on the socials. And feel free to drop us a line about what you think is the next thing that's going to blow up.
Yeah.
What is it? Who's got it? What is it?
And fact check us.
Fact check us.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Mock the podcast.